The U.S. Supreme Court is letting a lawsuit proceed against the maker of the rifle used in the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. The justices rejected an appeal today from Remington Arms that argued a 2005 federal law known as the Protection of Lawful Commerce in Arms Act, or PLCA, shields firearms manufacturers from most lawsuits when their products are used in crimes. The court's order allows a survivor and relatives of 9 victims who died at the Newtown, Connecticut school in 2012 to pursue their claims. I spoke earlier today with Timothy Litton. He's a distinguished university professor at Georgia State University College of Law. He says today's decision by the Supreme Court will have a ripple effect among gun manufacturers.
You know, addressing big, difficult issues like gun violence is an issue that requires a lot of different types of approaches. These include legislation and better enforcement. And in the toolkit of policymakers trying to figure out how to deal with these sorts of health and safety problems is litigation and liability exposure. And the immunity bill has basically shut down that part of the toolkit. And I think that this case moving forward suggests that liability exposure may be able to bring incentives and pressure on the industry to think about and revisit some of their marketing practices and their gun designs and the ways in which they police the supply chain at the retail level.
What's at stake with this case now that the Supreme Court is allowing it to go forward?
Since 2005, the gun industry has enjoyed immunity from this kind of litigation that was granted to them by Congress. And over again, lawsuits that have been brought against gun manufacturers after mass shootings have failed because of this immunity. The Supreme Court's refusal to review the decision by the Connecticut Supreme Court allows the case to go forward in trial court. And it's not just a matter of who wins or loses the suit. It's actually the ability of plaintiffs to pursue both discovery and possibly a trial, which will put the gun industry and its marketing practices really at the center of attention for a fairly long time as the litigation unfolds. And I would also point out that the discovery process, which is part of the litigation process and civil litigation, may reveal details about the process of gun designs, marketing, sales, and distribution practices that are currently proprietary and not really well known about by regulators that may shed light on the nature of the gun industry's role in, you know, the current gun violence environment.
I would imagine that future plaintiffs are going to look at this, look at what happened today, take notice of it, and maybe will we see a stream of these type of lawsuits?
I think that's likely. The lawsuit is proceeding under a theory that suggests that the gun manufacturer was violating the Connecticut Unfair Trade Practices Act, and there are similar Unfair Trade Practices Acts in all 50 states. And so this basically blew a very large hole in the gun industry's immunity, and it's a kind of hole that could be exploited by plaintiffs around the country. I would point out, however, that just because the Supreme Court has decided not to review the case at this time in the current appeal, it is possible that once the litigation process plays out in Connecticut, that there will be another appeal to the Supreme Court. And at that point, the court may feel that it is time to review once again the issue. And keep in mind, we're talking about a federal statute and its interpretation, so the Supreme Court would have the final word on that.
In your work, how does this challenge to PLCA compare to other PLCA challenges in the past?
Well, we know that a number of different plaintiffs have tried to bring similar lawsuits under this exception to the immunity law, the PLCA law. The exceptions were brought under general nuisance statutes, the argument that gun manufacturers in their marketing practices were creating a nuisance akin to kind of pollution by pumping out highly lethal weapons into the marketplace. And federal courts in New York and California rejected those claims, and they argued that those general statutes didn't really apply specifically to the marketing or sale of firearms. In this case, we have the Connecticut Supreme Court suggesting that the Connecticut Unfair Trade Practices Act, which is again a general statute, is considered a statute that's applicable to the sale or marketing of a product. And so this in some ways is quite pathbreaking. We haven't had a court find this way, and we certainly haven't had the federal court system, you know, allow such cases to go forward.
Timothy Litton, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Timothy Litton is a distinguished university professor at Georgia State University College of Law.